Deer Trucking Awesome. What do you think of when someone says tough? Honestly, I think of a Toyota truck. Tundra's one mean mother of a truck with a twin-turbo V6, an incredible going power, and the Tacoma claws through terrain with a taller suspension and lots of creature comforts in the cockpit. Both Toyota trucks are decked out with tons of cool features and tech you'll dig. Check them out at Toyota.com, folks.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the 87th episode of the most downloaded Denver Nuggets spin-off podcast in history. Welcome to the DNVR Nuggets' Serbian Corner. My name is Miroslav Ćuk, and I'm still coming to Denver. The new update says it's in 5 weeks. I say this not so much to annoy you, but to remind myself I have to start packing at some point. Since the trip is going to be pretty expensive, I'd appreciate support via Super Chats. And if you don't mind, use them to also send me ideas on what should I see or do while in sunny Colorado. Sharing these shows on social media also helps immensely, so thank you for doing that too. Let's get to basketball, since this show is supposed to be about it, and more often than not, it is. The week behind us started with the Toronto Raptors visiting Ball Arena. No Scotty Barnes, no Emmanuel Quickley, no Jakob Poeltl, no Gary Trent, no Chris Boucher, no Bruce Brown was banged up. So, of course, the Nuggets were down 21 in this game at the 7-minute mark of the third quarter. Brucey B was their starter at the point, playing next to Grady Dick. I'm so sorry. I always expect English to be phonetic, so these kinds of mix-ups happen here and there. Apologies to Mr. Dick. I kind of expected a team led by a passionate coach like Darko Rajaković to show up in a big way and dominate until the Nuggets finally woke up. They were led off by who other than Nikola Jokic, who scored 19 points in the third quarter and ended up with 35, 17, 12, with 6 steals and 2 blocks. What the fudge? Jamal Murray finally woke up in the second half and also had 12 assists, and Nuggets shooters started hitting open shots. At the end, it really wasn't that dramatic, and it ended up a 6-point win. 2 days later, the champs went to Miami. The Nuggets led the game almost wire to wire. Everybody played well. Only MPJ scored a lot, and Reggie Jackson made 7 straight points late in the fourth quarter to put the game away. It was a rock fight of a game, 100-88, and the Nuggets seemed to enjoy these kinds of games a lot. Even though they used 10 guys in the rotation again, it is more and more evolving towards what we will see in the playoffs, and as a result, a very strong win against a good opponent. Finally, 2 days later, a visit to Wemby Town, Texas. Yeah, this is how they call Austin, Texas these days. And Wemby is a problem. Unless you put 15 points on him in the first quarter, like a certain lumberjack from Sombor did. It was a floater parade, and the Nuggets played on a string. That resulted in an almost 20-point lead after the first. I have to give a bit of a praise to Wemby, though. Even though he didn't play too many minutes on the court together with Jokic because of his Gobert-esque minutes distribution, He didn't run away from that matchup. He bravely tried and mostly failed, but he wasn't hiding in at the roamer spot like some so-called Defensive Player of the Year candidates. After the first, some pretty sloppy minutes in the second and third quarter, but the Jamal-led bench made sure Jokic didn't have to return to play in the fourth quarter. Some amazing plays from the young duo of Brown and Watson. The first one had a lob pass to the other one, plus a step back three that was butter, as my favorite play-by-play Mark Jones would say. Justin Holiday was good again, and even Zeke made a layup off the glass. Easy win, 11th in the last 12 games. Okay, that's enough of my pretty face soloing on the screen. It is time for my first guest. He is one of my favorite people to follow on Twitter in general, and also one of the most influential Serbians on Twitter. But what made this episode inevitable is the fact that he lives in Beijing for many years now and can tell us how popular Nikola Jokic is in the 1.4 billion people country of China. For the first, but surely not the last time on Serbian Corner, welcome to former journalist and current English teacher, Bojan Radović, a.k.a. Amfibolije.
Zaoshanhao, or as we say it, good morning, because it's 6 a.m. here.
Yeah, so first of all, thank you for doing this at 6 a.m. on a Sunday, Beijing time. So I really
thank
appreciate
you for having
it.
Me. Thank you for having me. We were so close to talking from the eye of the sandstorm, but fortunately it didn't happen. So we're cool.
Oh, good. And please send my apologies to your wife, because she probably hates both of us pretty much right now.
Probably right now.
So what better way to start the show than a complete off-topic? Bojane, you have a huge following on Twitter, more than 70,000 people, and you only tweet in Serbian. That's like having 7 million followers if your tweets were in English. Do you have an advice to anybody who would like to have similar success? I'm asking for a friend, of course.
Oh, is it a success? I don't know. I don't know. I really don't know. I think for me, I started using Twitter in regards to Serbia really early, and this is actually my second profile. From the beginning, I know a lot of people that started using it back then, and I think from then on, it just was like a game of numbers. You know, you were recommended and things like that. If you want to have a huge following and things like that, I think there are tricks to do that, but I don't do them, and I don't really care about the number of people, because, you know, I mostly tweet about things that some of them are interesting to your audience, but most of them are not. So I don't know if there is a good advice. I mean, be yourself. That's the best advice for anyone and for anything.
Yeah, I'm guessing being awesome is a pretty good prerequisite, because you don't really tweet popular stuff. You tweet what's on your heart and being.
Look, let me tell you something. I'm really not that popular on Twitter in China.
Okay, that's fair. Okay, so first of all, there's no Twitter in China. Not like in the open.
If people didn't understand, yeah, there's no such thing.
Yeah, I almost asked you a dumb question of who is the most popular person on Twitter in China, and then I remembered it's not something you can find out easily.
Well, you can see, certain people are using it in China. I mean, some Chinese officials, and I mean, they're using it, but common folk, they don't really even care about it. They don't know about it. They don't really care. So it's not a big deal.
So you're probably the first Nuggets super fan I discovered on Twitter outside of the DNVR universe at that time. Please tell me a bit about your journey as a basketball fan in general. Like, what were your favorite teams, your favorite players, the most important championships types for you, and so on?
Well, I'm if we're talking about NBA, I'm the
Basketball in general.
Basketball in general. I'm from Serbia, so yeah. You watch basketball, you love basketball. It's really easy. And the fact that we had so much success, I mean, it makes it pretty easy to fall in love with basketball. But in the NBA, I always loved the Spurs. Spurs were my team, and I'm putting it on hold right now because we have Nikola in Denver. So sorry, Spurs. Sorry, Wemby. But you'll have to wait. For me, the Spurs were really easy pick. I'm from a small town, and in regards to NBA, the teams and everything, I can say San Antonio is probably one of the smallest markets, if not the smallest market. So it was pretty easy pick for me. And then once they started playing this beautiful, beautiful basketball, I mean, you have to hate basketball not to love them. I don't know. And of course, Serbia, Sacramento, we all loved it. And also, again, the small market team. And I liked Denver before. But, you know, I was never a Carmelo fan. And look at my age. That should have been a connection. I mean, he played in my early 20s. I'm much older than I look. But then I saw this chubby guy from Sombor, who I watched in the Mega. I actually watched him. We talked about this privately. But of course, I didn't expect him to be who he is and maybe even becoming. We don't know. This is the first time we see something like that. So Denver sounds pretty cool. And of course, I love South Park, Matt and Trey. So, yeah, that's pretty easy to fall in love with those teams. Pretty easy to fall in love. Sacramento, Spurs, and Denver now. I mean, if you love basketball, I mean, what is there not to love?
I couldn't agree more in regarding those three small markets, but you mentioned the Spurs, and it must warm your heart when you hear comparisons between Tim Duncan and Nikola Jokic and the beautiful game the 2014 Spurs had and what the Nuggets have today. And you can even expand that to 2002 Kings with Vlade and Peđa. You had five guys that were, you know, able and willing to move the ball, you know, so frequently. It was the beautiful game back then as well. So you can combine those three loves, and you can say it's just a continuation of the same basketball idea, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not even, you know, it's not run and gun. I remember first time hearing it about, someone mentioned it about Sacramento, and it was early 2000, late 99, or something like that, maybe mid 99.
98 really to 2006.
But talking about 99 for a reason, a really unfortunate year for us in Serbia, in Yugoslavia, which we're not going to talk about right now. And I remember someone mentioned it as run and gun, but then when you watch them, it was just beautiful, the movement and everything. And Rick Edelman talked about this during the broadcast.
Recently
against the Blazers in Portland. And he actually talked about it the way that we are talking right now. But then again, he's a wise man from the sports. I mean, it's pretty similar. And of course, it's a beautiful game. Now, of course, my favorite player from the NBA is Timmy. And the fact that Timmy, my favorite player, picks Jokic to be his favorite player today, and Jokic's favorite player is Timmy. I mean, it's just, you know, like they did it for me. Like it's all set up for me. I don't know. How can I avoid it now? So yeah, it seems like a continuation of the same basketball philosophy. And we say it, and they repeat it in DNVR, like playing the right way. And yeah, we got mad at them sometimes, not just from Serbia, from former Yugoslavia. But it is, you know, no individual is bigger than the team. Ball needs to move constantly. And that, I mean, the basket from yesterday, when they tried like full court press.
Full court press, yeah, that was silly.
I think the only bad thing in that possession was that actually Christian had like a dribble. I mean, he bounced it once, and if he didn't, it wouldn't be like this perfect. It's a water polo. It's literally boom, pom, 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 dunk. It's like, and you can see the crowd. Oh, what is that?
So when we moved to the Nuggets, when did you start watching every Nuggets game in this Jokic era? Do you remember the exact time?
I don't know if I started watching it from the first season one, but because here's the thing, people don't understand. And we talked about this. Time difference is perfect if you are in China, because it's in the mornings. So usually, and it's going to start now. No, it's too early now for the games, but it's usually around between 8 a.m. and 11 a.m. So I started watching Denver from his first season, but not every game. You know who I watched that season when actually Nikola came? Bobby Marjanović, who is wonderful, and I'm watching for the Spurs. Maybe by his second season, I was already locked in on the Nuggets and watching as many games as possible.
Yeah, I was actually happy to see Jusuf Nurkić next to him as well, because he's our boy as well. And that didn't work out, and it became a pretty fun rivalry for throughout the years, but it is what it is. It just wasn't meant to be, to have one seriously dominant center, historically dominant center, and then another one who can really be at least a top 10 center in the league, even though Bill Simmons really hate him and thinks he is not even a top 30 center in the league. I mean, the Nurkić.
Yeah, I know you're talking about that, because he has like a little shrine for Jokic, so yeah. I understand. And there's this thing with Nurkić. I remember that year when he started playing for it was 2015, and I talked to a friend, some friends I'm going to mention here, that we talk in the WeChat group about the NBA here, and he asked me about the guy, about Jokic, and I told him, like, oh, you're going to love this guy. He's a finesse guy, and he's going to play for national team. But I had absolutely no idea he's going to be this magnificent. And I told him he seems to me like a four. And in European basketball terms, he actually, for us, he was a four.
He was.
You know, because we always played.
He played next to Bobby in Mega, yeah.
Yeah, but next to Ratko Varda, next to these guys. And his favorite player was Novica. Veličković, for people who don't know, who was a four. Even late in his career, he stayed four. He played four. And you can see it. This is the weird stuff. He started playing the four a little bit in the NBA. In the national team, he played four. I mean, it took so much effort for all of us to understand that this is... You know, it's like it's March, and it's time of March Madness, which I love. And every March I watch Steph Curry's run for Davidson. And Americans know this, but people outside America should watch this. This is so wonderful. You see this small guy who's like, I don't know, a few centimeters taller than me, who is dominating the game, and he's skinny, and they're double teaming him, triple teaming him. And that was magnificent, and no one... in their right mind could imagine that he would be like this transcendent player. They thought, yeah, he's going to be a nice player in the NBA, blah, blah, blah. And it's the same thing we have with Nikola. You know, whoever says that, they're absolutely lying. Yeah. It was impossible to see what he's going to be. It's like, you know, like Albert Einstein in the history of science. He was like, you know, no, guys, like different mindset. Is like, no, it's not force, you know, it's a curvature of space-time. You can't even imagine it. No one can even imagine it. How did this happen? I have absolutely no idea, but I'm so thankful that we're witnesses of this thing. It's amazing.
Okay, let's take one short break and then we'll talk about what is going on with Nikola Jokic in China right now. Don't go anywhere.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Okay, so we know Aaron Gordon has been representing the Chinese brand 361 Degrees for some time now. And this December, Nikola Jokic joined him, and a bit later, KCP too. Can you tell me about how big of a brand 361 is in China, first of all, and how big our boys are in China, and are there any commercials with them now?
Well, 361 is a big brand. If you look at the shares in China, it's not like a top brand. There are bigger brands, but they're a younger brand. They're emerging. They're from the beautiful coastal city of Xiamen, and you should Google it, guys. Google this city; it's amazing. Half of it is on the island, so the brand is. It seems to me it's like it's growing, and it has a weird name, 361 Degrees, but it's growing, and they have a really nice strategy. And if you look how they are doing their business and how they're like the sponsorships they did, they're going like they're not trying to cover a lot of ground. They're just picking their spots, you know, like MPJ, trying to pick the right spot and go all in. So they are, how they chose this was super smart. And now here's the thing, you mentioned Meiji, sorry. I've seen more AG jerseys in the last year than Nicholas. And I wondered why. I had absolutely no idea. I would see people on the street wearing AG Nuggets jersey, but I was like, "Wait!" And I had this like notion, maybe, you know, this fat white guy, they don't like him, you know. But eventually it turned out that it was because of, probably, that's my guess, because of his connection with the Chinese brand. And now you have this Chinese brand that actually connected with the NBA champion AG, and then best player in the world Jokic and KCP. So you have three from starting five. If they could get MPJ somehow, ooh, they could get starting five, and these guys win a title again. I mean, that would be like a business decision of the century. So regarding the campaigns, there hasn't been any campaign with Nikola. And also, I have to say that I think they're waiting for the season to finish, which is not really a great news for national team fans of Serbia, because it means probably Nikola's going to come here.
Yeah.
So that's my. And then again, maybe it's a great news. Maybe he's going to have some kind of vacation and have a nice rest in Xiamen. So I think they're waiting for the season to finish and then to do, because there's only one. It's not even a commercial. It's like a promotional video, like ball going from the, you know, this dumb video, and that's it. And the shoes, they're generic. They're like shoes that already existed. They've just put his new logo on the. And also, I have to say, D-Line mentioned this, and you got to respect the artists. Artists have different perspective. He said that it seemed to him that they are trying to pursue the domestic market, and it seems to me it's like that. And then, yeah, we could probably talk about the market itself. So I think it's the just market, the beginning.
The market is not really small, right?
The market is absolutely huge. And first, there's one thing that people don't understand. Chinese absolutely adore the USA and the Americans and the American culture and everything. So whatever you hear from the media, it's not true. They absolutely adore. And if you are American here and you say an American, you're going to be treated like a celebrity.
So NBA is popular in America, so, in China.
And so that's number one. Number two, when people are, since Yao Ming, I think NBA just exploded, basketball exploded itself. And second thing, when Chinese are passionate about something, they're all in. And people who are, the sun is coming. my wife's going to appear from there, from the other side soon. So when they're all in, they are, so I think you can see people going completely mental about the NBA. And I read some articles and things, but, a lot of things changed in the last, 3 years now, 4 years because of COVID. And of course, you know, China has always went all in to fight COVID for like 3 years. So how that changed, probably even for better, because people were in their homes watching NBA. And of course, during COVID, just to understand, for people to understand how connected they are to basketball, like I think there was like a double disaster for Chinese at the beginning of 2020 because of the, was it, yeah, because of, during COVID, because it was COVID and lockdowns and everything. And then Kobe Bryant, who is like demigod, was here, died, unfortunately. And so that's how connected they are to this. And this market is absolutely huge. The Chinese play a lot of basketball. They're tough. They're like the guys, but the guys who like to play in the schoolyard, because they like to fight everything, but they don't have the finesse. But they're like all in, and market is huge. And we'll see with Nikola, hopefully, if everything goes right, they win again. He's going to be like Kobe.
So let me tell you, let me ask you, how can you tell when an NBA player becomes a real legend in China? Is there something you can say about that?
I know what you're thinking of. Yeah, you can actually see, because they get a nickname. And of course, everyone gets a nickname. But real nicknames in China are then used as names in TV broadcasts.
They no longer use their names at all.
They can use it. It's basically like transcribe name, blah, blah, blah. And it's really weird. I mean, it's not really complicated language, but it's really complicated to explain for me right now. If you have any knowledge in Chinese, and I have like minuscule but knowledge, but still, it's really hard to explain. Never mind. The point is that once someone become really popular, they get a nickname, and then it's used officially. That being said, Nikola has best nickname out of all of them, and it's Yue Lao Shi. And
can you repeat, please?
It's Yue Lao Shi. Now, okay. Lao Shi is a teacher or a master, you know, like a master. And Yue is just more like a sound of, yeah, yeah, teacher, okay, che. But then we can say, yeah, Lao Shi. But then we can say teacher, we can also say master. No, the Chinese use this lao, like old, and it's always respectful. That's why, I mean, in the word lao shi, you can see the respect they have for teachers or masters. So that name is absolutely amazing because he does look like an old, wise teacher of kung fu, I don't know, or something. And when they're talking about him, when they're doing the broadcasts in the games, that's what they're going to use. They're not going to use Jokic.
That's strange. Incredible story. So to summarize, NBA is super popular in China, and you can expect a lot of big deals to be made in China with NBA players. And nothing really happened yet with Nikola in China. It's something that's probably going to happen this summer. So, yeah, I guess it's similar to what he did last summer when he was making commercials for the hotels.com. Like, he did those in the off season, and then they showed it a couple of months after that with Peyton Watson. So, yeah, I expect an update from you as soon as we get, you know, some real footage and some real commercials. Although I'm pretty sure they're going to get viral pretty quickly in the Nuggets verse, for sure. Okay, let's take one more short break, and then we'll introduce one more guest to the panel today. Don't go anywhere.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, we have one more guest today. He is the returning offender, one of the most positive people in the Nuggetsverse, a big supporter of all the good things, and those would be science and Nikola Jokic. Calling from Denver, Colorado, it's Joshua Messer. Welcome back to the show, Josh.
Well, hello, Miro. I knew that one semester of Chinese that I took back in college would come in handy. So, and then I said, that's too hard. I don't want to keep doing that.
I'm a genius. I had no idea you took a semester of Chinese. This is actually perfect. I had no idea I'm going to make this kind of connection today. So, Josh, tell me, since you are from Denver, I need to ask you first, what are the best food joints I have to check out while in Denver?
Well, there's this little joint. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's called the DNVR Bar. So if you haven't thought about checking that out, I would definitely recommend that. I love little hole in the wall places, taco trucks, you know, stuff like that. I mean, you can't go wrong with the unbranded little taco truck off the side of the road. Just depends on what you want, man. You want like a good steak, right? You go to Shanahan's, and if you want, I mean, I don't know, man, there's so many good places to eat, you know, kind of in and around downtown, right along Colfax where the bar is, there's all these little hole in the wall spots. I mean, that's ultimately where you're going to get the best stuff, man.
Yeah, boy, and I will talk to you about the joints in Beijing as soon as I plan a trip to Beijing too. I mean, who knows if Jokic becomes so huge in China, we might need to open another DNVR bar there.
I mean, sounds like a great idea, eh? Like old city, eh?
Yeah, and all since country. You are also a cook, it might be. Yeah, we should not speak too much about this on air.
No, we're gonna go in the
too meta. It would be too meta. Okay, so let's talk about actual basketball now. And the Nuggets are moving toward their playoff rotation, I believe. Jokic is playing for the whole first and third quarters. We no longer see DeAndre Jordan at all. Zeke Nnaji seems to be just a placeholder for full-time backup center minutes for Aaron Gordon. Reggie Jackson plays in fewer minutes with Jamal on court. He's tied to Jokic now. And Justin Holiday seemed to be ready to play spot playoff minutes. He's actually in the rotation right now. I believe that is the main reason the Nuggets are 11-1 since the All-Star break. But are there any other theories for their recent success? And do you maybe see any other rotational wrinkles being tried out before mid-April? Let's start with Bojan.
They're 11-1 because of the message. Nicholas, I mean, it's all jokes aside, this is not a joke. I think it's obvious that it starts from the top, and he said, yeah, I know, it's God knows what he said, but it's time to play. And I think they realized, yeah, we are the best team, but being the number one seed, it changes everything, especially in the altitude, you know. And so I think they changed the rotation, which is not, I mean, this was supposed to be the rotation. Only Julian would have played probably instead of Justin. That's my guess, if it played out the right way, but it didn't. So sorry, see you next year. And we know they're the best team. I know, like we forgot why they won so dominantly. So yeah, I think this is the rotation. This is the way they're gonna play, and of course, it's gonna be shortened in the playoffs, and that's why they're winning. I mean, it shouldn't be a surprise. We just forgot about it.
Josh, do you think it's more the message, or possibly the rotations getting tighter and more in the shape of what we could expect to see in a month?
I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, if you think about the first 10 or so games of the season, Jokic was just on another level. Even preseason, he just looked like he was ready to absolutely dominate. And then he kind of, you know, took a little bit of a dip and prepared for an 82-game season. And then after the All-Star break, I mean, yeah, he sent a message physically, but he also just sent a message with his play. And he just said, we're going to do our defensive rotations, and we're going to not take nights off, and we're going to continue to do everything as well as we can. So, I mean, when Jokic is on, good luck to anybody trying to face it. But I think the rotations help. I think not playing Reggie and Jamal at the same time, that certainly helps. I've actually really liked seeing Justin Holiday in there. I think he's played some really good minutes. Zeke looks good. Who knows how much, you know, time he'll get in the playoffs. I think mostly we'll see AG at the backup five, but who knows? I mean, if he plays well and there's a matchup that makes sense for Zeke, we might see him. But I just think it's like a culmination of all of the factors, right? Everybody's just keyed in, they're ready to go, they're in postseason form, and they're saying, let's do this.
Yeah, okay. So give me your confidence ranking of bench players right now. So Reggie, Christian Brown, Justin Holiday, Peyton Watson, and Zeke Nnaji. 1 to 5. Bojan, how would you rank them in your personal confidence ranking?
Like individual? Do you want to go name by name?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, teacher. Milos. Let's see. Who should I start with?
Start with the person you trust the most, and then go to the bottom of the barrel.
I mean, it's Christian Brown. Okay. If we do an American scale from 1 to 10, or Serbian from 1 to 5, we'll do. Christian is absolutely amazing. He's a winner, and I think when he came, Nikola knew this. He's been winner throughout his career, young career. So I think this guy, we forgot about him actually. I think we forgot how amazing this guy is, what mentality he has. So I think he's number one. Peyton Watson, almost, if I do 1 to 10, then Christian Brown is a 10 for me. How confident I am he's going to do the same thing. Peyton would be a probably 9. His mid-range is, I don't know how that happened. I didn't expect that to happen. And then Justin, I don't know why he surprised me, because he's a savvy guy, you know. He's like, he's been in the league forever. Zeke is playing pretty good. And I don't know, Reggie is coming to his own. I don't know how many minutes they're going to have. Christian's going to have a lot. Peyton's going to have a lot. we'll see about Zeke. But right now, these guys are they're really good bench. I'm a bit surprised how well they started playing, because they were like a black hole for the Nuggets from the beginning of the season. But now they seem like, and but to be fair, it helps the way the lineup works with Jamal with them sometimes, with Jokic finishing the quarters with them, and then it just all makes perfect sense. So I'm pretty confident them. They're gonna play maybe 6-7 minutes less in the playoffs, some of them. I think Christian Brown's gonna play more or less the same minutes, but they're really good. They know what the hell they're doing on the court. They know their rotations.
Especially for Reggie Jackson, I think a 10-minute role for him in the playoffs could be perfect. Like, if he could give you his maximum effort for 10 minutes every game and always together with Jokic, always knowing that he has Jokic's back, that could be huge for his impact on the team. And they don't even need him to play for 10 minutes. It could be 7 or 8 minutes per game, depending on how much rest you want to give to Jamal. Josh, what about your ranking of the bench guys? Would you use the same ranking as Boyan did?
Yeah, I don't think I have a whole lot of difference from that opinion. I think CB is going to play a ton of minutes in terms of, I mean, pretty similar to what he did last year. I know he didn't play a ton during that Lakers series. He kind of got played off the floor. But even by the time we got back to, you know, think about game three, the finals, he was incredible. I think that we called it the Christian Brown game, and yet Jokic and Jamal both had triple doubles. I mean, I think Reggie is going to play well off of, you know, when he's playing the Echo PG role when Jamal's resting. And I cannot wait to see what Peyton Watson is going to do this playoffs, man. I think he's going to have such a big impact. He's going to make such a big name for himself. We see how he's guarded people like Kevin Durant and some other big names over the course of the season. I think he's going to be really big, man. I think P. Watt's going to have a huge postseason.
Yeah, I agree with that. It could be. We always say that the West is way better this year. I'm not sure if it's really that big of a difference, because I kind of think that the Lakers and the Warriors have been teams you really needed to count on last year, even with the lower seeds. And the Lakers show that by going all the way to the Western Conference Finals. I think those teams are just not that good. And then you get a bunch of good, not great teams in Phoenix and in Clippers and Dallas and Sacramento and New Orleans. So I feel pretty confident about that. But let's not go that direction. Just now, last week I talked to Mike Olson and we spoke about Nikola being more dominant than ever, while his numbers are close to but by no means are best of his career. How would you describe his games this season, and especially since the All-Star break? Let's start with Boyan again.
Sorry, I was adjusting the camera. Who are you talking about, Peyton?
Nikola Jokic. How would you describe his dominance, despite the fact that his numbers are not really, you know, better than last year or 2 years ago?
He figured out the game. I mean, he's seeing things differently. Like, I don't know. That's what I told you in the beginning. You know, I'm seeing this for the first time, and a lot of people are seeing this. Even people who are like talking about basketball, leaving basketball and everything, have been in basketball for a long, long time. It's so weird. It's so different the way he figured it out. He figured out the angles. He's reading the game, even if something is happening behind him, because spatial awareness is insane. You have to, people see this. He doesn't even look at what is happening behind him, but somehow he calculates the number of players. He does this in real time. He knows it should go like there. So, like, you're asking me, how can I explain this? I don't know. I think he just figured it out, man. It's strange. It's like, you know, like the, peak of the peaks in within athletes. We have this in tennis in Serbia. We don't have a lot of examples, but when you look at like extreme examples of like athletes that are like doing things we've never seen, and it's like you cannot really explain it. You can just enjoy it, and he just figured out the game. He figured out the court, and he's doing it in real time. And it helps that he's obviously working a lot. Now, I have to point this out. I'm going to forget. People were making fun of him during the summer, you know, the videos and blah, blah, blah. And he was saying he said he was working out. And nobody really believed it, you know. But I saw on YouTube this American guy did like videos from Serbia. And he ended up in Sombor somehow. And he was in a gym, a KK Joker, and mm-hmm. for a brief second, you actually see Nikola running these like insane. You know, in practice you have these like sprints. He was actually doing it. So you combine his insane brain with work ethic and experience, and then you get this. And that's the best way I can explain it. So I think it's just work and insane talent, and that's it, man.
Josh, do you think that this is his most dominant season so far?
Unquestionably. I mean, I think he's just the numbers don't always reflect exactly what's going on. We know that with all, you know, you look at all these other advanced stats and things like that. We look at Mirostat. But I mean, if you think about things like the number of assists are up. I think he's like 9 or something like that. His points per game are about the same. His effective field goal is higher. But you know, like Bojan was saying, he just seems to he solved basketball. And so, you know, as much as, yeah, exactly. He does lean into that shtick a little bit. I don't really care. And kind of this laissez-faire attitude, but we know that, you know, he sweeps the Lakers and the first thing they do is he goes in and starts lifting weights, right? His work ethic is, next to none. You think about Draymond Green saying, I couldn't keep up with this guy, right? He hopped on a podcast right after the game and said, I can't, he's so well conditioned. So I think we saw him go 16-4 in the playoffs, and all of the media folks said, well, it was kind of an easy path, but he absolutely dominated and he has not skipped a beat. I cannot imagine that by the time we get to the postseason this year, he's going to look any less than he did last year, no matter who his opponents are.
Yeah, it's just so impressive. And as Leontine mentioned, dancing on tables is an actual workout, and running into the gym is too. So yeah, we all agree. We are all on the same page. Of course, he's working his ass off 365 days per year, of course, with different regimes throughout the year. You don't get to be that dominant, one of the most dominant players of all time. And we see now the national media actually talking about Nikola in that way, not comparing him to his, you know, current peers. They're comparing to the greatest players of all time. And that's just going to intensify with the second, third, and fourth championship, I hope. Okay, let's take one last break, and then we'll talk a bit about the other starters of the Nuggets. Don't go anywhere. Okay, we are back. Now, Jamal is better than ever. Even though his basic counting numbers don't show huge improvement, Bojan, how confident are you that we will see Finals Murray from Game 1 of the playoffs this year?
I'm as confident as Jamal is. I think that's what he does. That he was born to do this. It's like this. He's the guy, man. I think he thrives in this. He waits for these moments. And I'm not fair towards Jamal sometimes, but sometimes he annoys me. Like, why did he take his shot and everything? And then I realize, come on, man, what is he doing? How is he taking over the games? I mean, the biggest tragedy of Jamal maybe is the fact that he's playing next to Nikola in a sense, not as a player, but like the perception people have of him right now while he's playing. In 10, 15 years, they're going to say, oh my God, this guy was amazing. But right now, it's more like, I mean, there people are comparing Jamal with... I listen to a lot of podcasts and watch some TV show clips from TV shows, and they're like, the names of guards were on the list above Jamal is like, what are you talking about? There's some players that they cannot touch him, but for some reason, and then playoffs come, and then to answer your question, then we have Jamal. There is Jamal, always the same guy, and they're like, oh my God, he's really good. Yeah. That's Jamal. So I'm as confident as I can. People forget this summer was actually first summer, this offseason, where him and MPJ actually worked on their game because they were working on their bodies last 2 years. And now you can see it. You can actually see it, how they're developing. And it's crazy. That's the crazy thing about Nuggets. Everyone is getting better and better and better. So... yeah,
which makes sense. These guys are still young. Nikola is the oldest of the bunch, and he's only 29. So that makes sense. Josh, we've seen some really cool stats from Ryan Blackburn in the last couple of days about Jamal. He's hitting like 42% of his above the break threes, which leads the NBA among all the players with like 250 attempts or more. He's also has incredible effective field goal percentage in the step back jumpers, you know, from all the distances, like 58% effective field goal percentage. And on top of that, he is a better playmaker than he ever was. So is there anything else you expect to see from him this season, if not, you know, later in his career?
I do think that there's a lot to be said for the fact that last season he was still rehabbing, right? And he was trying to play and that type of thing, like Boyan was saying. I mean, we've followed Jamal, the past 8 years, and this has been his MO from the beginning, right? Is kind of inconsistent up and downs in the seasons, in the regular season, and then just... And so... you know, I am highly encouraged by the fact that some of these metrics are showing his improvement this kind of late in the regular season. I have the utmost confidence that by the time we get to the postseason and we're playing some of these playoff games, he's going to have some of those Murray Fleury games, some 50 pieces, and remind people how good he can be when the lights are the brightest.
Okay, let's move to MPJ now. So Michael Porter has answered all the questions about him with flying colors, if that's the correct phrase to use. His mid-range game seems better than ever, and even some floaters look smooth lately. Is there anything more you want to see from him until the end of the regular season? Let's start with Brian again. He's averaging like 20 points and 10 rebounds since the All-Star break.
Knock on wood, I don't want to see anything more than this. This is great. He's consistent. He's healthy. I love the guy. I love this interview he did after the Miami game. Yeah. He's grown so much, you know. And you know, in Serbia now, we certain demographics of like Nuggets fans, we absolutely love MPJ right now. We were like, before we were like, oh, this guy, I don't know. Now we adore him, and there's a reason. He's amazing. He's perfect fit. And I actually saw Bill Simmons' podcast. They talked about like worst contracts, and they had to mention MPJ. And I really hope that he watched it. Because he's, for me, the way he's playing, he's one of the best contracts there are. Like, and you said about the when they're trying to run him off the line, a three-point line, the way he can do a pull-up jumper like KCP does, he basically do what KCP does, or he does this bank floaters because he's so long and he's just expanding his game, getting what taking what the game gives him, and with Jokic and Jamal, everything opens. I think I would score at least 5 points a game with them somehow. I don't know, but, you know. So he's taking shots there. What actually the game is giving him, and I think he can spend more on it. But right now, it's perfect. I mean, if he was not the player he is, that like 2+1 game that Jamal and Nicole are playing with AG in the dunker spot wouldn't work. But because people have to stay with him, attached to him, that's why these three guys can do whatever they want. As soon as they let him go, MPJ in the corner shooting like 120% from three. You're not going to let this guy shoot. So just be like this, knock on wood, stay healthy. Perfect.
Yeah. So Josh, what impressed you the most about Michael's recent games?
I'll give a slightly different answer in that I don't disagree with anything he said, but it's got to be his defense. Like everything we're pointing to is how awesome he's been offensively, and he absolutely has. I don't want to take away his flowers there at all. But I mean, we would just try to get switch after switch until we got the switch onto MPJ. He was targeted late in games. You had to worry about him being on the floor and in clutch situations because, you know, he would get beat or he would try to go for a steal and miss and give up the whole play. And you almost never see that anymore. MPJ just looks so confident on that side of the floor. He uses his length and his long arms to his advantage. He gets deflections. And so while I love everything he's doing offensively, I really want to just shower him with praise for saying, okay, this was probably my biggest area of opportunity. I'm going to work on it. And he did.
He absolutely did. It's just such a wonderful story. And for me, the bigger journey I've had with Michael is about his personality that has shown through these last several years with the Nuggets. That's the bigger, I don't know what to say, surprise, but it's a bigger revelation to me than his actual game is, because when you hear that he's all about the right things, and you know, he didn't have to be. He was the top rated recruit back in high school. He could have been just one of the guys, like one of the guys that want the team for themselves. But yeah, he really realized where he came to, and the Nuggets did right by him, definitely by giving him that huge contract, and now he's delivering. And I agree with Bojan. His contract, I don't think will be soon mentioned again on Bill Simmons's, you know, bad contract list.
Miralosha and Joshua Losha, if I can add something, I think if he wasn't in Denver, I don't think he might have had like the career of Zach LaVine right now. In and out, and then we're talking like maybe he's done, and he's like 20 something. This way they develop him. Maybe it pissed him off in the beginning that he has to be patient and everything. But now he understands basketball. He knows he's not going to be Hall of Famer, you know, but he knows he can get like multiple championships. He's going to get his jersey in the rafters in the Ball Arena. And that's good enough for him, you know. And also how they officiate it. I think what Joshua mentioned about defense, it might benefit him. Because now that most of the fouls against him are like people leaning into him, and he's so long, so it looked, you know, I hate that drifting, you know, I absolutely hate this thing. But he get the fouls like foul calls like that. So hopefully, in the playoffs, that might change. So he's going to be even better defender. And how underrated a rebounder he is! He's an amazing rebounder. So yeah, Joshua was absolutely right. Defense. I don't know why I didn't mention defense. It's not fair to
you. Had to give me something to talk about, man.
You're absolutely right. I mean, he's an offensive player. Like, his defense is what I should have said, because he's where he was and what how he's playing right now, and he prides on it, and that's beautiful.
And now I'm gonna switch the order and ask Josh first.
Oh no, I wasn't
about AG and KCP. So I have to bundle them together because we are low on time. So the two of them, AG and KCP, played the most physically demanding game of all the starters. Would you maybe like to see their minutes get slightly reduced in the last 16 games or however there are left of the regular season? Or do you prefer them to be in the playoff rhythm throughout?
So there's that tightrope balance between chasing that number one seed, which I do think is important, and making sure your guys are rested up and healthy going into the postseason, right? Ultimately, if I had the choice, I mean, I don't want any injuries. I want everybody to be well rested. But at the same time, if 1, 2, and 3 is pretty bottled up like it's been for most of the year, I'm all in favor of keeping those guys going if it means getting a pretty high seed. Right. It's still pretty clustered between us and OKC, and Minnesota's fallen off a little bit with the Cat injury. So overall though, man, I mean, I cannot sing either one of their praises loudly enough. Like, I feel like, you know, we got the best starting five in basketball. We've touched on all of them, but man, those two guys, they bring it on both ends of the floor every single night. And I just could not be more impressed with how they're doing. And especially AG, he's just become a beast, you know, got that finale oop, and so I love everything about it.
So Vane, let me ask you: if the Nuggets get the number one seed, that means they will not be able to play against OKC and Minnesota until the Western Conference Finals. That's a pretty big deal. I mean, those teams are not super experienced, but let's be honest, they have been the best two teams in the West next to the Nuggets this season. So if you would let them go, you know, in a gauntlet against Phoenix, against Dallas, Sacramento, New Orleans, Lakers, Warriors, let's mention them for humorous reasons. Do you think that might be the biggest value of getting the number one seed?
The biggest value of being number one seed is the fact that you are playing against a team who just played two games, at least one of them on the road. You have like enough time, enough time to rest, to prepare and everything. So you basically, it's not even a question. You start with 1-0. And because then they're trying to adjust, you probably start with 2-0 in case of Denver. So I think number one seed is important in that way for Denver because the advantage is insane. It's sort of advantage that Utah would have, but I like OKC. I mean, they annoy me somewhat for some other things, but like I like the team. But I don't think they are the problem here. Possible. I'd rather see OKC in the playoffs than Clippers. And I know Clippers, yeah, but you know, more experienced teams. I would love to see Clippers and let's say Denver is first. I would like to see Clippers and Wolves be 2 and 3 somehow, because then they can fight it out and do your thing, kill each other, do whatever you want. Then you have a different bracket and it would be much easier. Either way, even if you're number one or number two seed, you're going to have some good teams some really good players you might have in the first round, you know. I mean, you can have Warriors, whatever we say about them. You have Steph, he can go for 50. He can go mental and shoot like 3-pointers from half court just to annoy you, you know. So I don't know. I OKC is not, yeah. I don't know. And he's a winner. Same as we talk about Christian Brown. I mean, that mentality. I've been winning this game since I was like 5. So I don't know if the priority is to have a home court advantage, possibly to have it from the position number one in the West and go all the way. But avoiding Minnesota, which was a team built to play against Denver, avoiding them as much as possible would be great for Denver.
What about you, Josh? Which team is your least favorite opponent for the Nuggets in the West.
I mean, if we're just looking at first round matchups, there's some scary ones there, right? I mean, we could see Dallas. I think that they would, I still think we'd win, but they, you know, I could see that going six or seven games. I do think that the revamped Clippers look pretty good if everybody's healthy. Who knows if that happens, but if you got Kawhi and PG and Harden all up and running, like that is a little bit scary too. I think about what Houston did to the Nuggets too many times back when James was still there. So, I mean, there's quite a few, and then there's still a couple teams that scare me a little bit in the East, right? I mean, if we can get to the finals, great. But to get to the heart of your question, you said, hey, you know, how important is the one seed? I think it's pretty important. And the only team in the NBA that has a better record than us is the Celtics. So, you know,
and they're not going to get out of the East. So
they're going to go down in the second round, right? Because Tatum and they've hit their peak. But I mean, that would be really important, right? We saw how important it was with Miami. I think we would have beat them either way, but you know, starting a couple off here I think really helped. So there's a lot of really good teams in the West. There's a couple that I think would challenge us, but I still think we're getting out of the West.
I think Pelicans are going to be a problem. They're like, you know, no one is talking about them, but they're actually playing the best basketball. If we don't count on, if you don't talk about Denver in the West right now, Pelicans are playing the best basketball. Like their starting five is great, and they're killing everyone. So who's going to play them? Yeah, you know, it's like, oh, the Herb Jones, the block shot on Paul George from top of the key. Have you seen this? Like this straight line block dunk. It's like this team is long. They're scary in the half court. I don't know. There are teams in the West. I mean, you talked about this, Miralasha, about the East and West. Let's be honest. Teams like Lakers, Warriors, they would be not in the play-in, they would be in the playoffs.
Oh yeah, for sure.
So comparing East and West, it's a joke. You know, they're not comparable. We have like four decent teams, good teams in the East, and the rest of it to just find it out who's going to be in the play-in.
If you take a look at the standings, the official standings on the NBA.com, and you take a look at the Eastern Conference, you always have that column that says the last streak the team is on. Like 13 out of 15 teams in the East lost their last game at least. they just keep losing games. It's truly amazing how the East looks this year. Okay, guys, we need to stop at some point, and I'm sure we will continue the discussion soon enough on one of the other shows. Thank you both for coming to this multi-continent edition of Serbian Corner. And that's all for today, folks. Thank you for hanging out with us to the very end. And don't forget to hit that like button on the way out. And tell your friends, heck, tell your enemies about our show. I'd love to get some new eyes on the show before we try to get viral. Not with the new pandemic, but with the engagement online when I finally get to Denver. Have a great weekend, everybody. See you in 7 days. And until then, Marcus Howard.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
the first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.